Fishing like a local isn't just about catching fish. It's about connecting with the environment and the people who call it home. It's about hearing the stories and traditions that have been passed down for generations and sharing unforgettable moments with the people you meet along the way. Fishing like a local is having an experience that stays with you forever. And with Fishing Booker, you can experience it too, no matter where you are. Discover your next adventure on Fishing Booker.
This upcoming concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your stop for the best in Western style. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring and summer, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. It's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, that's WCB style, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there's no in-store experience like it. If you can't make it into a store, just visit tecovas.com. That's T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com. They offer free shipping on all boots, as well as free returns and exchanges, and ship right to your door. Go to tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
Hey everyone, thanks for listening to the Western Hunting Hub podcast. Hunting gear is so fun and exciting to talk about that I needed two episodes just to scratch the surface, even though I've tried to get into some detail with some of it. But if you haven't listened to part one, that's last week's episode. So go give that a listen first and come back and finish this one, which is part two of my backcountry hunt gear dump. But if you're not doing backcountry hunts, keep listening, because you can easily adjust this to a day hunt, a one night hunt of some sort. So there's a lot of application here, or even just truck hunting. So there's a lot of application. Why don't you keep listening? So in this episode, we have the other half. And I've really enjoyed getting the feedback from mainly my buddies who enjoy, don't have a problem just texting me, telling me what they got. And so I'll share some of those things as well. Let's get started. And as always, thanks for listening. If you have enjoyed or at least want to throw me a bone, give a like, follow, rate as you can on wherever you listen to your podcast, as well as make sure you're following on Instagram, Facebook, whatever. I don't even really know how to access that well. I just automatically post through Instagram. So again, thanks for listening and enjoy. All right. I had to wait for my dogs clicking on their nails to leave the room and recording now. It's a boys afternoon. Me and the 2-month-old Colt hanging out here recording the podcast. Makes it easy when this is a solo episode. I can just hit record and stop record as soon as he starts crying, but I think we got nap time, so we're good. But first off, I want to say again, create your own gear list when it comes to this gear. No matter the style, the types of hunts you do, or how long you've been hunting, this is an absolute must and has been one of the best things I've done. Even after listening to other podcasts over the last few years, I've continually honed mine in into where I want it to be, but it'll probably never be complete. Just because there's always different gear, you can get things better and better, and things change. Sometimes you gotta, as you age, you need a different tool or thing that comes along, a different comfort, like I've been sharing. So duplicating mine or someone else's doesn't work. I've attached mine below again, so you can use it as a reference, but also XL Mountain Gear just reposted their gear list template for you guys to steal, just like I did. It's a free resource out there. I went and grabbed that and have been using that as my gear list. I also have an image of one that my friend Ben sent me that he has shared with his buddy. So I'll share that image there as well, because I like his organization of it. It looks pretty good. Another note before we get started is just how weird we are with our gear, and we get almost attached to it. When we find something that we enjoy and like and we know works well, it's almost like nothing else exists. And I noticed that as soon as a friend told me about one gear item, and it's like, why am I almost hostile towards, that doesn't work. It's not what I would wear. It's not what I would use. And you see that around certain items like First Light clothing being connected to Meat Eater. Some people really don't like that and they want to throw that out. Sitka obviously has its own, Sitka has its own reputation, and we may or may not wear that just because of that. That had a nice little wake up call the other day as a buddy was sharing that gear item. And I thought, no, be open to it. Listen to this idea and maybe give it a try if it's something that is worth giving some attention to, because I need to replace it. Maybe it's something that I don't need to, you don't want to break what's not broken, or that ain't it at all. Don't fix what's not broken. So, but man, that was backwards. But anyway, you really gotta not you gotta get rid of those biases. It doesn't matter. Just because you get stuck on one thing, that actually can really mess with you and your gear system. So just be open to new ideas, be open to some of that. And it's like buying anything. Just because you put that giant investment into it, suddenly it's that best thing in your mind. And that's something we got to get over. So here's some listener feedback I got. My friend Ben had an excellent one to organize it. So if you've got your hunting camp or you hunt with some other guys, create a OneNote, a Google Doc, or a Google spreadsheet, or some other form of shareable document for everyone to edit. This can help some of your plans. So checking in, so you're not having to check in really all the time, but you can check in with each other just through that when you get time. It helps maybe if you're splitting up a tent, splitting up food, then everybody knows what they need to go get. Lots of planning there that can make that process a little easier. So great idea, Ben. I really prefer to hunt alone. That's been my main deal, minus maybe another one or two at a friend or my dad in there. That's another style or another type of hunt that makes it enjoyable. But if I were just to schedule a hunt, I do enjoy hunting alone, because it's just has to do with my reasons of being out there. So, but I tell you what, took someone on a turkey hunt today, shot some turkeys, absolutely love going with other people in that instance, or calling an elk for my dad. Also another one of the top 10 hunts for sure. So some of the feedback I got on shelter as well is tarps are awesome. They go a long ways, just being more mobile. So another gear item with that was the Sitka flash shelter that I had heard was a good one. Another tip for your shelter is if you're a couple, Big Agnes double wide 15 degree King Solomon. It's the same weight and size of two of those sleeping bags, and then you can get the double wide sleeping pad. So might actually be a really good way to stay pretty warm, sharing some body heat. I know if that were my wife, that would never work, because I got to stay a long ways away from her when we're sleeping. So that wouldn't work. But if you're the cuddle type, there you go. That could save some warmth, save some space, as well as be the same in weight and keep you warmer. And the last piece he added there was quit messing around, go with llamas. That's a whole nother story, Ben. We'll talk about that another time. I'll get someone that's got some background or info on using livestock for hunting. I'm not that person. I don't know anything about it, and it's a whole logistical thing I just don't know anything about. So I'll dive into it, and we'll get going. Some other pieces of equipment that I've already covered those areas and they've shared with me is the Petzl Bindi, BINDI headlamp. Nice, easy, lightweight, goes around your neck, and pretty unnoticeable. Also in the first aid kit is a tourniquet, maybe a knee brace, ankle brace, if that's something that you're concerned about. Good additions there. Tourniquets have really made a comeback in their importance in your first aid kit. They can be a little spendy, not just spendy, but kind of big and bulky as well. So there's a thought, and those two reasons are why I don't have one. They're expensive, they're big and bulky. But if you are going on a going on a rifle hunt, or you have a lot of people you're responsible for. I have one for hunts that I do with people, just not in my personal pack, just in case, because I'm responsible for those people. The reason why we continue to work on this gear list is the change in needs we have over hunts. Sometimes it's an ultralight hunt. Sometimes it's comforts that we need in that hunt. Weather, obviously. If we brought everything on our gear list, our packs would all weigh 80 pounds and we'd always be fidgeting with gear. Also, you go to any sporting goods store and you see all the gear gadgets that you can have for this and that, you'd be looking like you just came out of a garage sale. So keep plugging away at yours. And the next section on my gear list is what's on your body. Bino harness. That's the first section we're going, is what's on my body. In my bino harness, I have one of those. It's kind of like the Alaskan Guide, but it's the Vortex version. I have in that front pocket a little regular pocket knife, my chapstick, and then maybe my Windicator. My Windicator ends up going in my pocket eventually. So here's where I don't leave anything in my truck. If you plan to have your backpack packed, organized, it's in the back seat, right next to my rifle, my bow, or whatever. Then in the front seat, I am charging my phone all the way to where I park. And then in my bino harness, it's on the dash or on the floor right there. So I will not leave anything in the truck. That is so important. If you have stuff scattered and you're grabbing things at the trailhead, you'll probably leave something. And you better hope it's not a release or your ammo or something really, really important. So I like to have everything packed before I'm not doing it at the trailhead. I'm doing it right at home when I'm going through the checklist. So in that bino harness is the Windicator. That's where it starts. Also, my rangefinder is attached to it. My calls are in it. My diaphragms. Also in the back pocket, there's a area for a pen and my tags. All my tags stay in that back pouch because I like that instead of in my pack, because if I ditch my pack or whatever, I always have my tags on me. And then if I'm rifle hunting, I got a couple of rounds in there as well. So the way all that is organized after I get into the field, I'm hiking out or I'm hunting, I still have my knife and my chapstick in the front pocket. My Windicator has gone to my pocket. My rangefinder is around my neck. And please, 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 if somebody has a decent way to organize a rangefinder, I'm all ears. I need something better. I don't mind it around my neck, but my rangefinder is getting beaten up. And I need it quick. I don't want to flip around with a pocket, anything like that. I hate it. My calls, my diaphragms go in the little side pockets of the bino harness, as well as maybe an additional extra one in one of my cargo pants pockets, because you got to have some various open or various calls so that you can sound like different elk, or if you had a bear call or whatever it is that you're having along on your hunt. So in those pockets, in my pockets, in my pants pockets, phone, additional elk call, maybe my gloves that I'm taking on and off, and then the Windicator. Also either on my body, mainly after the hunt. I don't really use my trekking poles unless I'm doing a hike in where I'm not focused on hunting, is my trekking poles. Those will be kind of maybe in my hands, or they slide down into the side pocket of my pack. Next area is the kill kit. This is in a pocket inside my bag. It's not going to be just in that. It's in the big main area, but it's just a small little area, about 8 by 5 or so, place on the lid, not on the lid, but on the front area that you can pull up, and it's there. But you do have to get on the inside. So that requires taking off a few buckles to get at it. But in there is, if I didn't have my tag in my bino harness, my tag's in there with my driver's license. My driver's license isn't in my bino harness because, yes, you keep my driver's license as well. I think that's even a legal thing in some places. And my hunter safety, if I needed that as well. So all of those important things go in my bino harness or in my kill kit. The other things in the kill kit are a zip tie or two. That's mainly for hunting Colorado for those green tags that are going to go on there. Zip tie them on, makes it kind of handy. I don't like messing around with string. And then a pen if I didn't have one in my bino harness. The other things I need are the replaceable blades for my knives and maybe a backup knife or maybe a backup knife. We'll see. I usually like to have, if weight is not a concern or I've got the allowance for it, if it's not a backcountry hunt, then I'll throw this in. But if it's a backcountry hunt, I only have those replaceable blade ones. I have two. I have a Havilon and an Outdoor Edge. Both have its positives and negatives, but I've processed elk with both, and they both work. But I do like having a fixed blade. I got this buck knife from Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation Banquet 1 year. That's when you show up, and they give you a knife with your membership. I kind of miss that. I haven't got a knife from them in a long time. But it's that orange handle, rubber handle, really thick blade, great skinning knife. I love it. It stays nice and sharp. That's a great knife. They don't really make that one anymore, so that's a bummer, but it's one of my favorites. Not in my kill kit because it wouldn't fit there, but in the bottom of my pack are my game bags. And I really, really like the Caribou brand ones, and I'll stick to those. Even if I'm one short, I'm going to stick to those. I think I now have a full set. I had some, and you always lend them out. You pack a buddy's elk out, and you don't end up knowing where they go. But they're kind of expensive. But you can buy just a one single bag. But I've got enough there to make it work. And those are in the bottom of the bag and the squished into the little sack that they come in. Also in the kill kit, got to have some paracord for whatever reason. You never know. And then also some surveyor's tape. I don't use that very often, but when I do, all I do is take the main roll, take, I don't know, 20 feet of it, roll it up and shove it into the bag. You're not going to carry that whole big heavy roll. Other hunting gear that is scattered throughout the whole gear system is my bugle tube. The bugle tube kind of gets strapped across my chest, and it's got kind of that bungee, stretchy cord that ends up being kind of in the way when I'm initially hiking in. But once I get set, it's there. I do sometimes feel like I got too much around my neck. I got a rangefinder, my bino harness, maybe a call, and then the bugle tube. It can be a lot, and I don't really have that. I've reduced the amount of things around my neck, but it still seems like a lot. So any great ideas on what you guys put around your neck and where you do put those things to simplify it, love to hear it. But the bugle tube sometimes will be in that pouch. For my backcountry hunts where weight is an issue, I have a Carlton tube. It's got a nice little mouthpiece on it, which is nice. Sounds really close to my big giant Phelps one, but the Phelps one is heavy, and but the Phelps one is durable. So the Carlton one is great until you want to pack it away and it's going to get squished. Other calls that you may have, a deer, turkey, cow calls, bear calls, rattling antlers. I have noticed that if you're going to do a lot of rattling, the bags do not sound near as good as real antlers. And listening to Melissa Bachman on her rattling antlers, she suggested the bigger the better. Which makes it tough. You got 1 pound each side, for sure. At least maybe it's a pound and a quarter. So you got 2.5 pounds of antler there hanging off the back of your pack. Not something that you're always wanting to carry around. But it does sound good when you have those. So that's depends on where you're at if you're going to use that. My Ester scent, man, bag it, double bag it. That ends up being in the top lid of my pack where there is very little stuff in there, pressure in there. I know this is where my food goes, but it's also double bagged. And if it's in the bottom of my bag or one of those places, I'll never use it. So if it's close next to my food, take a little break. Like, oh yeah, there it is. Put a little on your boots and you're good to go. So you got some of that estrus scent during the rut. I had on my list a glassing pad, but man, I don't use that very often. I suppose if I go to Arizona, when I go to Arizona to hunt with my buddy Ryan, for sure, I'll throw that in just to have something nice and easy to sit down, because everything's pokey there from what he's told me. Extra ammo, I have that kind of throughout. I like to have some on my gun stock. That's not going to be a case this year. I got a custom gun stock coming from HS Precision, so wait for an episode there. We're going to have one in about a month and a half with them, so that'll be a good episode. But I'm not going to be able to put the ammo on my stock this year. I think there's two in my strap. That's okay. Those are easy to lose. There's like five spots in my bino harness. And then in my hip pocket, there is an area for five or six. So I do like to have, let's go with the four in the gun, four in the bino harness, and then maybe another four or so in the side pocket. That may seem like a lot, but I listened to a podcast once on that. That was all about how many to carry, and it was like 13. It's like, that's perfect. I really like that number. I always have a lot more than you think you would ever use, or you actually ever use. But there are those times. A tripod, bipod, gun-mounted bipod, all of those things to support your gun. Those things have kind of blown up recently. Typically, you always get those metal springy ones, the bipods that mount to your gun. Those are uncomfortable to carry. Although they'd be great for laying down and taking a shot, they're awkward to carry. So I don't have one of those. I don't use them. I really, really like the Death Grip tripod. Talk about heavy, bulky, a lot to carry. I'd use that on certain hunts. Mountain hunts, absolutely no. A prairie hunt, antelope hunt, absolutely. Something you got to make a long shot on and maybe can't lay down. It saved my butt this year on an antelope because I had to be seated. It was an easy shot, but I love a solid rest. So I packed that thing in 2 miles, and I packed out my whole antelope and the pad or the tripod all in one trip. Not a big deal. I was able to do that pretty easily. Otherwise, I've carried around a Primos bipod for years and years, and that has been my main bipod. I would be very interested in any of these bipods that mount to your gun that click on, click off. I would entertain that idea if I ever run across one that's not going to cost an arm and a leg. Another thing I haven't done yet, but I know I'm going to, is when we're going to be hunting in the snow with a rifle, a little electrical tape for the gun barrel. That's been done over and over again on different shows, and it's proven to be a valuable thing. You can get those little ones that are made for that, but why when you have electrical tape everywhere? An extra release is a great idea. I can admit I do not carry one, even though some people say you need to carry one. My release never leaves my hand. It absolutely never leaves my hand. Even now that I've got a thumb release, I have a string tied to it that goes around my wrist. I know when you go to the bathroom, how do I do that? I can't remember. Oh, that may end up going into my pocket. I never, ever put that on the ground. Just get in that habit of never putting things on the ground when you sit down to glass and look at something. Put it in your pocket. I end up carrying decoys all the time. Turkey season, deer season, elk season. I think it's obvious if you've been a listener that I love the Ultimate Predator decoys. So I use those, and they fold up super, super nice, making it easy to pull that out whenever I need it. Go back and listen to the Ultimate Predator episode with Danny Ferris, and he has a really good tip on there for carrying your bow with that on it. And I'm going to re-listen to that episode right before I go out this fall, just to remember some of those tips that he had on using that thing. But decoys, always coming with me. I'm addicted to them. I love using them for all kinds of things.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Pursuing wild game in wild places. Tune in to Hunt Stand Presents Saturdays at 8:30 p.m. Eastern. Waypoint TV, the destination for outdoor entertainment.
Now that I'm kind of a flatlander, the Boost Oxygen is going with me. I used that on my mountain goat hunt, and that was awesome. I thought that was kind of a hokey thing, but just something to help you recover, get your breath back is worth every $20 of that tank or whatever it costs. We all need some orange for your rifle hunting, muzzleloader hunting. So orange vest, I really like my Under Armour orange vest. It's comfortable, zip, not the buttons, not that little crappy Velcro thing that's been handy. And I need something for my pack. I really would like something to put on the backside of my pack. And honestly, in South Dakota, you almost need that to be legal so that you can be seen from 360 degrees. All right, here's a interesting one. And it's been defended by a friend of mine, Umbrella. He says that it is one of the most important things that he brings and will always go in his pack based on what he has seen an outfitter friend have when they're sitting in the wind, sitting in the sideways snow, rain, whatever, but he popped that up, blocks the wind. Something you wouldn't take on a backcountry hunt, but something that you would take if you were not far from the truck. So again, that's one of those little comforts. Might slip right easy into the side pocket of your pack. I'd be curious to know who else has one of those in their pack. As far as optics, this is one area where I've really struggled with using a spotter. I do not have a good spotting scope, and I borrowed one, and I wish I wouldn't have taken it with. It was just too big. I know I shouldn't have taken it with because it wasn't necessary, but it's meant for more of that road hunting or being able to see from a long ways away and being able to do some scouting. But I know a lot of people use them. I've struggled to use them. I just haven't been in those situations, and it'd be nice to, I guess if I had one that was good, I would do it. I would use it a lot more, but it kind of seems like you just got to pay the money for a good spotting scope. You always can get by with average binoculars, but a spotting scope just seems like you got to dish the money out for a good one. A tripod for my optics is, I have one with that adapter on it for my Vortex, and I'm just not sold on it. I will use it again if planning for that kind of hunt, but it's another big bulky thing. It's heavy and only going to use it in certain times, but something that should be on your list for when those hunts are there. A lens pen is great, but yet it's another big thing. It's semi-heavy, but what I found is even at Walmart, there's these Zeiss little lens packets that are got a little lens wipe in them. That's worth the money right there, like $10 or so for a bunch of them. All right, this is where we can get a little difference in opinion, but the closing system, no matter the brand, good gear is great. And I know some people don't like First Light. They don't like Sitka. Seems like a lot of people are pretty much in agreement on Kuyu. It's good stuff. I've got it all except Sitka. I don't really have that, but I've had plenty of other brands. Remember, we used to kill them in Wrangler blue jeans. It was doable. It's easy. People still are. But all that clothing does is help us to go a little further, a little longer. And even my buddy Ryan in Arizona, he said, leave that at home. Bring down your rough pants because the stuff's going to rip your good stuff apart. So that's what's going in that hunting pack, is maybe some of these those rougher work pants that I have, but I invested in some First Light gear primarily because when I was looking into it, they gave me a better discount than anywhere else. That's what I went with. I have been so happy to find something that fits me. I wear pants 32, 38, or 32, 36, depending. And so you can't find that in a lot of things, but I'm wearing First Light pants right now. I wore them to work. Been very comfortable, and I enjoy good quality hunting clothes. Same thing with boots. I was had a conversation with a college kid the other day about where do I not skimp? I do not skimp on boots, optics minus the spotter, a pack, and my hunting clothes. Those areas are where I have been thrilled that I have spent some money. I wear Hanwag boots, but I don't think there's anything wrong with going with the Crispies or the Kennetrex or whatever. I think as long as you spend some money on a good pair of boots, they'll repay you with the miles you're going to get out of them. I've gone with those $100 pairs, and we did an episode on this a little while back, so you can go listen to that. Gaiters are great. I've used to wear them on every single hunt. Now I'm picking and choosing where I wear them because yet it's another item. When it's too hot, they're not comfortable. Socks, that is a great area to put one extra item in there. I have a two-part sock system. I have a wool sock, heavy or light, depending on the season, and then a polypropylene liner. That has been a lifesaver for me to rub those two socks together instead of the sock on my foot. That makes a big difference, and I don't get hot spots. I can go a lot further. I don't get blisters, but I can tell my feet wear out a lot less when I plan ahead and do that. If I'm just going for a 5 mile, 6 mile shed hunt, I don't typically wear them, but for multiple days, then I'll throw on that liner. And this is where I'll have an extra of each in my pack. Otherwise, there are no extras of any of this other stuff in my pack for weight reasons. For your hunting pants options, it's nice to have a heavy and a light. The good thing about that is when you spend $120 to $180 or whatever it is on pants, you just got to do it once and those pants last you a long, long time. It's not like buying a pair of blue jeans. Sometimes you go buy two because you need them. You only need one good pair. Buy one good for the colder weather, one for the lighter, and that's been well worth the money. I did get some of those new zip-off long underwear. Those are awesome. Just to stay lightweight, not have to wear something on your outside, I have really been thrilled with that. I should have ditched the 3/4 length and gone with the full length. I don't know what I was thinking. I was thinking length was going to be an issue, but now length is really an issue because I went with the 3/4. And you can feel that 3 inches between your sock and your and the long underwear. It's not there. And they're a merino wool. Been pretty awesome. I even went with some merino wool underwear. Not worth it. Just any kind of wicking underwear works. Maybe the only reason why those are worth it is because that merino wool helps you not stink so much. And then as far as your upper body, your tops, a base, a mid, and your insulating layers, you can't go wrong going through any of the First Light Sitka Kuyu line on picking out their wick layer or one of their insulating layers and then a shell of some sort or the jacket. You can't go wrong. You kind of pick one of each. It's kind of nice to have. I have a really thick jacket for the cold hunts, and I'll just layer. Even though some of them are the same or similar mid layers, I'll just layer them, and it really makes for cooling off or when things get colder, really easy to adjust for. I don't have the money in a puffy coat, but that's been handy. I have like a cinch one that I got somewhere from a Western store. That and a Wrangler one. Keeps me warm. I throw that underneath. That'll be an investment down the road to get a camo one for archery season. But yeah, it works for me. And then a rain jacket. Same with that. As weird as it sounds, I don't have a good one of those either. I have a black Under Armour one that was, I don't know, $40. I need to get something that's got some camo on it in case I'm hunting during that time, but just haven't found myself in that situation where that's been, I needed something where it was really raining. Those times it has been really raining or snowing, I just throw that on and it's not really messing up my hunt because it's in the middle of the day when I don't need to be, I'm not trying to hunt anyway. The stocking hat, I've got a merino wool stocking hat, Carhartt hats, all are great. Nice to have when you're sleeping as well. Throwing one of those on your head really helps you keep warm. And I also do not go anywhere without a ball hat, ball cap. That's something I always have with me. Gloves are one of those things that I never can keep them around, keep good ones. I got some of those First Light ones that are really light, and then I got the First Light mittens. Those are awesome. The glassing ones, the thick ones, they're heavy. I've even thrown a hand warmer in there, and you are good to go. So I need something in between, and sometimes that's just whatever is on the shelf at the at Home Depot or Lowe's, and just some of those insulated fleece gloves of some sort work for me. The other footwear that can go along sometimes, Crocs for hunting camp, and then some moccasins or some just tennis shoes or whatever. But moccasins for the stalking. Ryan gave me that little heads up from Hunt AZ there, and I'm going to use that. He suggested that for down there, but I'm going to use that here. I threw in some old moccasins for my shoes off situation, so I'm going to try that and see how that goes this fall with stalking some mule deer on the prairie. But I know we have all this stuff in our pack, but there's some things you need to have in your truck for sure. Load up the truck as well. You need to have backup release, maybe an archery target, extra arrows, extra ammunition, a backup sleeping pad, or the patch kit for those things. Backup boots are a must. Regular shoes for when you get out, get back to camp, and you've been in those boots for 5 days and you got to just put on something different. Your power bank charging cables, in case you pack up and move, you need to go somewhere else. Batteries, SD cards, trail cameras, if that's a part of your system. Tarp, never know when you need a tarp. Ratchet straps, four-wheeler fuel, side-by-side fuel, extra toilet paper. It's kind of nice to throw in maybe a stove, a pan, and some seasonings with some oil, so just in case you want to cook something up right there at the truck. Maps, extra clothes, food, water. And definitely more water and maybe even a little beer to celebrate. Don't forget your coolers, your hitch rack, maybe if you need a little more space. Throw in your fly rod. You never know when you got a stream nearby and you're like, man, I wish I would have my fly rod. You can do a little fishing. Or you tag out early. Anyone traveling to Colorado, you get a fishing license as well. You never know if you tag out early and it'd be cool to have something to go do for free. Go do a little fishing. Some other emergency truck equipment. You never want to leave again without straps, tow rope, jacks, all of those things. Like, and make sure your truck's in good running condition. Make sure fuel filters, good oil change is done beforehand. All of that in preparation before you leave. And that's the other thing that's on my gear list. I mean, these last items I've been saying are on my gear list, but this is also on my gear list before leaving list. That includes downloading my offline maps, dehydrating food or making jerky. Leave contact info, trip plans, even down to trim my toenails. There is a important step there. Doing that about a week ahead before leaving allows that initial growth for them to get comfortable again. But then you're not going to jam your toes in front of your boots going downhill. Sometimes that can be uncomfortable. Sharpen your broadheads. Make sure your four-wheeler is registered if it needs to be. Update all your kits, like your first aid kit. Prime your coolers. That's a good one that I've done in the past when it's September and hot, is I'll throw milk jugs in the freezer, and they're frozen solid. Throw those in the cooler with just that. I'll do that since you need more than one cooler for an elk. Two coolers will have those jugs in there. And I'll swap them out the next day so that they're fresh. and one cooler is, I'll take one of those and load it up with ice. That is my ice carrying cooler. It's got my extra food and drinks in there. I don't like spreading my ice out over multiple coolers. I'll do that afterwards, but all of them are primed with those milk jugs, and one of them has the ice in it. Also, I need to take care of home and work and businesses. Even down to put my Etsy shop on vacation mode, doing something to make sure that everything is taken care of at home so you can leave feeling relaxed and ready to go and leave the real world. Charge your cell banks, get some cash, double check your tags. That's important. Some guys don't look at them until they're pulling it out to tag their animal. Maybe radios, trash bags, a dog bowl, dog water if you're taking your dog. Fill your water up. And then pack your food. That's another conversation, another episode, another day. But Wilderness Athlete, my buddy said liquid IV, energy drinks like 5-hour energy or something like that. All of those things need to go in your pack or in your to get packed and come along the trip. So I know that was a long, long list and a variety of things and how we kind of keep these things organized, but I hope this energizes you to start thinking about what you have and what you need. It's time to get these things together. Oftentimes the stores and online shops, especially nowadays, get out of stock during the time. And I know there's random sales here and there on things. So be picking that up. Like the stock from my gun is 4 weeks out. My scope is on the way. I need time to spend at the range to figure those things out. And I got those things coming early. Otherwise, I think everything else that I need is pretty simple, easy to do purchases or refurbishing of a certain kit. So once again, thanks for listening. We got some great episodes coming up here. We've got Joni Marie, Trophy Line, Josh Kirstner, Atomic Athlete, HS Precision. All of those episodes are being worked on right now. And so you can look forward to something else than me just talking about my gear. And again, talk gear with your buddies, see what they got, share a list, and keep improving that stuff so that your list so you are ready for the field and you're safe and having a great time. Thanks again for listening.
Ground, this is God's country.
You want to succeed, you want to fish, you want to be one of the greatest.
Tune in to West Marine's Life on the Water, presented by Costa Custom Boats, every Saturday night from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern on Waypoint TV.